Hello, this is Todd Durakond with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, February 17, 2026, coming to you from my home studio. We start on the front page under the story, Together Decatur, Music, Magic, Heart, and Soul. Singing group for those with special needs adds talent contest to show. This article is by Donette Beckett, Decatur. Decatur resident Danielle Zachary, 36, was invited to join Heart and Soul, a singing group for individuals with special needs, about a year ago. "I just came one time and I was hooked on it," she said. "I just love to sing." Heart and Soul will be hosting the Talent and Treats show, which includes a concert performance as well as a talent show and a dessert buffet on February 27th at the Scoville Banquet Facility, 3909 West Main Street, Decatur. The Heart and Soul in Motion dancers will be part of the show. Ken Fry is the Special Recreation and Public Relations Supervisor for the Decatur Park District. "But for Heart and Soul, I'm just the ukulele guy," he said. Fry is also a songwriter. Two songs have been premiered with the Heart and Soul Choir. "My Heart Beats" will be performed during this year's Talent and Treats show. "It's a serious song about accepted people of this population," Fry said. "Their hearts beat just like ours do." The thank you song was performed at a recent Greater Decatur Chorale show in Fairview Park. "It's a comedy song," Fry said. They had fun doing it. Other songs are more familiar for the singers as well as the audience. "And they're not that easy of songs," Fry said. "The music is chosen by choir director Mickey McNaughton. Some of the songs are ones they have historically done since the choir came to the Park District," she said. "Some of them have been suggested by choir members. The classic Heart and Soul is the song that introduces each show. On My Way from the soundtrack Brother Bear is one of the new favorites planned for the upcoming show." McNaughton said she selects songs that challenge the choir. "We try to do songs in the round where they are singing the same thing at different times," she said. "I also try to do ones that might have fun motions to them, because we do have some nonverbal members of the choir. That gives them a way to participate." Heart and Soul formed in 2012 at the Central Christian Church with less than 10 members. The Decatur Park District accepted the group approximately 5 years ago. The choir currently has more than 30 members. "There's a magic to the joy that this choir has and that they bring to people's lives," McNaughton said. "We have a lot of people who are surprised at how good they are and how much they enjoy it." New to the annual Heart and Soul show is a talent contest. Participants are invited to sing a minute of their favorite song, play an instrument, or perform a dance. Long Creek resident J.J. Shutter, 54, will be on stage to sing one of his favorite songs, "Hey Good Looking," for the talent show. Shutter said he joined the Heart and Soul Choir to hang out with friends. He found the performances with added movements, dancing and singing, enjoyable as well. "It's a lot of fun to sing the songs for different people," he said. "Everybody likes it." And some medium and large size color photos here. Danielle Zachary sings a song during the Heart and Soul rehearsal at the Scoville Park West Activity Center in Decatur on Wednesday, February 11th. Cadence Kitchen dances during the Heart and Soul rehearsal, and she's standing up and clapping her hands. Photo credit for both the Joseph Ressler photos, Herald and Review. Milan Dean, Dacia Copton, and Katria Roberson sing along with Heart and Soul, the Decatur Park District Singing Group, at rehearsal at the Scoville Park West Activity Center in Decatur on Wednesday, February 11th. And they're on stage and seated and laughing and singing. Joseph Ressler photos. Choir director Mickey McNaughton leads the Heart and Soul group in a song with dance movements during rehearsal. Ken Fry plays the guitar with heart and soul, and the Decatur Park District Singing Group for rehearsal. So there's some sidebars here. If you go, what? The Talent and Treat Show featuring Heart and Soul Choir, when? 6:30 p.m. Friday, February 27th, where? Scoville Banquet Facility, 3909 West Main Street, Decatur. Admission is $15, online or call 217-421-6648, on the web at decatur-parks.org. And a sidebar here, hashtag Together Decatur. Do you know a person or of a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur? Well, if you do, contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983 or dbeckett at herald-review.com. Nancy Guthrie, Answers Elude Families Seeking Missing Persons. Sophia Riddle, Associated Press, has this article. As hundreds of federal and local agents scoured the Arizona desert and chased down potential leads since Nancy Guthrie disappeared February 1st from her affluent neighborhood, families of other missing people are reminded how elusive answers can be. Families who spoke to the Associated Press share the deep pain Nancy Guthrie's children, including the well-known Today Show host Savannah Guthrie, expressed publicly. On the other hand, people like Tanya Miller, whose mother disappeared under suspicious circumstances in Missouri in 2019, say they feel frustrated as they watch seemingly endless resources flood into the search for Guthrie. Families like ours that have just your normal missing people, they have to fight to get any help, Miller, 44, said. Miller's mother, Betty Miller, is one of the thousands of people who are listed as abducted each year, according to federal statistics. In most cases, family like Tanya Miller say it's a full-time job advocating for a fair and thorough investigation. The country was engrossed by the Nancy Guthrie case after authorities said they believe she was taken against her will. Multiple news outlets reported receiving ransom notes, and the Guthrie family expressed a willingness to pay, though it's not known whether ransom notes demanding money were deadlines that already passed were authentic. In the meantime, several hundred detectives and agents are now assigned to Nancy Guthrie's investigation, the Pima County Sheriff's Department said. FBI spokesperson Connor Hagan declined to say how many of those agents were federal law enforcement and how many were already assigned in Arizona. He also didn't clarify how the federal agency prioritizes different missing persons cases. However, he said agents from the Critical Incident Response Group, technical experts, and intelligence analysts are working to bring Guthrie home. There is also a 24-hour command post where dozens of agents parse through the 13,000 tips that flooded in from the public, among other responsibilities, according to a post the agency made. The vast majority of people who are reported missing are believed to be runaways, not kidnapped or abducted. Throughout 2024, the latest year that the National Crime Information Center published the data, more than 530,000 missing persons records were entered. By the end of the year, more than 90,000 cases remain unresolved on that list, some going back decades. About 95% of the hundreds of thousands of cases filed in 2024 were believed to be runaways, and only 1% were listed as abductions. Often, the abductor is a parent who doesn't have legal guardianship over a child, the report said. It's even more rare for someone to be abducted by a stranger. The FBI names five kidnapped or missing people, including Nancy Guthrie, from Arizona on its online database of 125 missing or kidnapped people. All five from Arizona are listed as Native American or otherwise disappeared from tribal communities except for Guthrie. That racial trend holds true for the rest of the country, true, too. A disproportionate number of Black and Indigenous people were among the abducted in 2024. According to the National Crime Information Center report, about a third of the 533,936 missing people listed as abducted in 2024 were Black, though the census reports only 13% of the U.S. population is Black. Similarly, almost 3% of the missing people listed as abducted were Indigenous, compared to the 1.4% of people who are indigenous in the U.S. writ large. Every person deserves to be safe, and when someone is missing, there should be an immediate, coordinated, and effective response, said Lucy Simpson, Chief Executive Officer for the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. For many Native women, longstanding gaps in resources, coordination, and systemic support for tribal nations have made prevention and response more difficult. Experts said that sometimes the attention on high-profile cases can be a major obstacle to law enforcement operations. But Savannah Guthrie's celebrity status also garnered extensive resources from the government, including a $100,000 FBI reward for accurate information about her whereabouts, or that could lead to an arrest and conviction of whoever took her. Elections Georgia NAACP sues to protect voter data. Advocates ask judge to limit federal government's use of seized records. This article is by Kate Brumback, Associated Press, Atlanta. The NAACP and other organizations asked a judge this week to protect personal voter information that was seized by the FBI from an elections warehouse just outside Atlanta. Georgia residents entrusted the state with their sensitive personal information when they registered to vote, and the January 28th seizure of ballots and other election documents from the Fulton County Elections Hub breached that guarantee, infringed constitutional protection of privacy, and interfered with the right to vote, the organization said in a motion filed late Sunday. The motion asks the judge to order reasonable limits on the government's use of the seized data and to prohibit the government from using the data for purposes other than the criminal investigation cited in the search warrant affidavit. That includes prohibiting efforts to use it for voter roll maintenance, election administration, or immigration enforcement. They also want the judge to order that the government disclose an inventory of all documents and records seized, the identity of anyone who accessed the records outside of those involved in the criminal investigation, any copying of the records, and all efforts to secure the information. The Department of Justice did not immediately respond Monday to a request for comment on the motion. FBI agents arrived at the elections hub just south of Atlanta with a search warrant seeking documents related to the 2020 election in Fulton County, including all ballots, tabulator tapes from the scanners that tally the votes, electronic ballot images created when the ballots were counted and then recounted, and all voter rolls. The county filed a motion seeking the return of the seized materials. President Donald Trump fixated on Fulton, a Democratic stronghold and the most populous county in the state, asserting without evidence that widespread voter fraud there cost him a win in Georgia in 2020. An FBI agent's affidavit presented to a magistrate judge to obtain the search warrant says the criminal investigation began with a referral from Kurt Olson, who advised Trump as he tried to overturn his 2020 election loss and now serves as Trump's Director of Election Security and Integrity, with a mission to investigate Trump's loss. The motion was filed by the Lawyers Committee for the Civil Rights Under Law on behalf of the NAACP, Georgia, and the Atlanta NAACP organizations, and the Georgia Coalition for the People's Agenda. It notes that the seizure happened as the Justice Department seeks unredacted state voter registration rolls. The Justice Department sued at least 23 states and the District of Columbia to try to get them to hand over detailed voter information. The agency claims it is seeking the data as part of an effort to ensure election security, but Democratic officials and other critics worry that federal officials want to use the sensitive data for other purposes. Federal courts in several states rejected the Justice Department's attempts to get the records. These repeated efforts to access 2020 election records, including by the entity that now has custody of them, heightens concerns about the privacy and security of sensitive voter data and exacerbates the chill on voting rights, the motion says. We're now on the local page A2, Valentine's Day shooting victim ID'd. Herald and Review, Decatur. Authorities have released the name of a woman fatally shot on Valentine's Day. Macon County Coroner Michael Burkham said in a news release that Alexandra A. Wilson, 26, was pronounced deceased shortly after her arrival by ambulance Saturday at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Christian D. Luthy is being held in the Macon County Jail on preliminary charges stemming from her death. Decatur police said in a news release that Luthy had dialed 911 around 5:27 p.m. Saturday to report that he had accidentally shot a female inside his residence. Lieutenant Adam Jarrus with the Decatur Police Department said officers arrived to find the 26-year-old victim suffering from a single gunshot wound. Luthy remained at the scene and was transported to Decatur Police Department headquarters for questioning. Detectives from the Criminal Investigations Division processed the crime scene and conducted interviews as part of the investigation. Based on the information and evidence gathered, Luthy was arrested for involuntary manslaughter and transported to the Macon County Jail for booking. The investigation into Luthy's version of events continues. The Decatur Police Department urges anyone with information to contact the Criminal Investigation Division at 217-424-2734 or Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. Luthy is due to be arraigned Tuesday in Macon County Circuit Court. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the Office of the State's Attorney. What's happening? Maintenance planned at Bow Wood, Lake Shelbyville. Scheduled maintenance work will cause the Bow Wood Recreation Area along Lake Shelbyville near Sullivan to be closed February 17 through 20th. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said in a news release that this closure impacts the entire area, including the entrance ramp, dog park, and boat ramp. Access will not be permitted for either vehicle or pedestrian traffic during this time. Darren Bailey campaign headed for Decatur. Louisville Republican gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey and his running mate Aaron Del Mar will take part in a statewide tour this week, which will include stops in central Illinois. One of the things I enjoy most about campaigning is traveling this state and meeting the great men and women who make Illinois a special place to live and raise a family, said Bailey, a former state senator. I look forward to seeing old friends and meeting new ones and laying out my vision for a new Illinois. The tour stops include the Hall at 520 East North Street, Decatur, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, February 17th. Lyons Community Building, Forest Park Road, Shelbyville, from 6 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, February 18th. DPD Chief to speak at Kono Meeting, Decatur. Police Chief Brad Allen will be the guest speaker at the February meeting of the Coalition of Neighborhood Organizations. The meeting is at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, February 17th, at the Decatur Public Library, 130 North Franklin Street. The meeting is open to the public. The purpose of CONO is to support the formation, development, operation, and empowerment of grassroots neighborhood organizations within the city boundaries of Decatur. Also on the local page, but this time on A3, the Slover murder case. Judge weighs new DNA. Valerie Wells, Decatur, has this article. Almost three decades after his ex-wife's dismembered body was found in Lake Shelbyville, Michael Slover Jr. is still trying to clear his name of her murder. The latest chapter in the September 1996 Karen Hearn Slover murder, for which Slover and his parents, Michael Sr. and Jeanette, were convicted in 2002, is an attempt to get new DNA evidence admitted, which Slover's attorneys from the Exoneration Project say identify three new mystery subjects. Slover Jr. is the only survivor of the three convicted killers. After both his father and mother died in prison while serving 60-year sentences, the younger Slover, now 55, was paroled in March 2024. At a Friday hearing, Matthew Bannock, representing the state, called Jennifer Aper and Amanda Humke, forensic scientists who examined DNA and other evidence from the investigation. The concern, both women testified, is that those DNA samples were compromised and possibly contaminated without clear chain of custody. The samples were sent to a private laboratory for testing through FedEx, and were also stored for a considerable time in the Macon County Circuit Clerk's office, where they could have come into contact with and been contaminated with DNA from other cases. At the time of Karen Hearn Slover's murder in 1996, DNA testing and the proper handling of samples was not regarded as it is now, and the samples in question could have DNA from almost anyone, with no way to exclude people who handled them along the way. We can't account for who was handling them, and we can't account for storage issues, Aper said. Exoneration Project attorney Tara Thompson, representing the Slover family, argued that the samples should at least be tested and compared to the state's DNA database because storage conditions are not discussed in the manual governing the handling of evidence like it. Whether to attempt to collect elimination samples is the responsibility of the Illinois State Police and not Slover Jr., she said, and regarding the possibility of cross-contamination, there's no way to know if the samples were contaminated without checking them in the database. The question is, whose profile is this? Thompson said. Judge Rodney Forbes did not make a ruling at the Friday hearing, choosing to take the matter under advisement and set a new hearing for 1:30 p.m. Friday, March 13th. Man gets 20 years for killing Tony Reed Decatur, has this article. The Decatur killer, who tried to wash away the evidence of his crime by bathing in his own urine, has been sent to prison for 20 years. Reginald Pritchard, 32, had previously denied shooting to death 34-year-old Herman Jones on April 12th in the 1200 block of North Church Street. Pritchard had been due to face a jury trial February 10th, but changed his mind a week before the trial and took a plea deal. Macon County Circuit Court presiding Judge Thomas Griffith handed down the sentence at a hearing February 11th, which notably did not add on any extra prison time, as is often in the case when a firearm is used to commit a murder. A sworn affidavit about the crime filed by the Decatur Police Department described Pritchett arriving back at the Clinton Motel room where he was staying with his girlfriend on the night of the killing. She is quoted as telling police Pritchett was in a very agitated state and his behavior became even more strange when they took a communal shower together. She said he began using rubbing alcohol to cleanse himself and then washed his hands in his urine stream. The girlfriend said she has taken over 100 showers with Reginald and has never seen him using rubbing alcohol to clean himself or pee on himself, said Detective Kyle Borders, who signed the affidavit. Police said Pritchett was hoping the urine and alcohol would remove gunpowder traces from his hands. The girlfriend also later told police Pritchett had gone to bed fully dressed, but curiously only wearing one sock. Borders said police would later find the handgun murder weapon inside the missing sock dumped behind a shed not far from the murder scene. Police investigations had also found that the murder victim had been texting on a cell phone with Pritchett's ex-girlfriend when the defendant had approached him on the night of the killing. Messages recovered by police said the victim and his killer had smoked cannabis together and the victim was still texting right up to the moment the messages suddenly stopped. The last message received back from the ex-girlfriend said, "WTF happened, is you okay?" The affidavit offered no motive for the murder, although it did note at the time of the murder that Pritchett had been wanted for allegedly taking a shot at his former girlfriend a few weeks earlier. The defendant had taken a plea deal in that case, too, and admitted the aggravated unlawful possession of a weapon. Judge Griffith had sentenced him to an additional 6 years, but ordered the sentence to run concurrently with the 20-year sentence. And in his booking photo, Pritchett is smiling very large and appears very happy with himself. Ring scraps partnership amid backlash, Associated Press. Amazon's smart doorbell maker Ring terminated a partnership with police surveillance tech company Flock Safety. Last week's announcement followed backlash that erupted after a 30-second Ring ad that aired during the Super Bowl featuring a lost dog that is found through a network of cameras, sparking fears of a dystopian surveillance society. That feature, called Search Party, was not related to Flock. Ring's announcement doesn't cite the ad as a reason for the joint decision for the cancellation. Ring and Flock said last year they planned to work together to give Ring camera owners the option to share their video footage in response to law enforcement requests made through a Ring feature known as Community Requests. Following a comprehensive review, we determined the planned Flock safety integration would require significantly more time and resources than anticipated, Ring's statement said. The integration never launched, so no Ring customer videos were ever sent to Flock Safety, it added. Flock reiterated that it never received Ring customer videos, and ending the planned integration was a mutual decision that allows both companies to best serve their respective customers. In a statement, Flock added that it remains dedicated to supporting law enforcement agencies with tools that are fully configurable to local laws and policies. Flock is one of the nation's biggest operators of automated license plate reading systems. Its cameras are mounted in thousands of communities across the U.S., capturing billions of photos of license plates each month. The company faced public outcry amid the Trump administration's aggressive immigration enforcement crackdown. However, Flock maintains that it does not partner with Immigration and Customs Enforcement or contract out with sub-agencies of the Department of Homeland Security for direct access to its cameras. The company paused pilot programs with Customs and Border Protection and Homeland Security investigations last year. Still, Flock says it doesn't own the data captured by its cameras, so its customers do. So if a police department, for example, chooses to collaborate with a federal agency like ICE, Flock has no ability to override that decision, the company notes on its website. Beyond the Flock partnership, Amazon faced other surveillance concerns over its Ring doorbell cameras. In the Super Bowl ad, a lost dog is found with Ring's search party feature, which the company says can reunite lost dogs with their families and track wildfires threatening your community. A clip depicts the dog being tracked by cameras throughout a neighborhood using artificial intelligence. Viewers took to social media to criticize it for being sinister, leaving many wondering if it would be used to track humans and saying they would turn off the feature. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, a nonprofit that focuses on civil liberties related to digital technology, said Americans should feel unsettled over the potential loss of privacy. Amazon Ring already integrates biometric identification like face recognition into its products via features like familiar faces, which depends on scanning the faces of those inside of the camera and matching it against a list of pre-saved, pre-approved faces, the foundation wrote February 10th. It doesn't take much to imagine Ring eventually combining these two features, face recognition, and neighborhood searches. Democratic Senator Edward Markey of Massachusetts also urged Amazon to discontinue its familiar faces technology. And with that, we have come to the end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour.